analyst for NFL on Fox and NFL Network, Charles Davis. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing all right. Kind of a bit of a shocker there last night. And I wonder, is it no worries that we can fix this for the Patriots? Or is this a template for other National Football League coaches that are looking at this and going, I think I see some weaknesses?
You know, I think you hit something there, which you just said. It's a template. But how many people can follow it week in and week out? That's the thing. I mean, how many people are going to play that type of a game and have the type of people to make the Patriots play, you know, pay when mistakes are made? You know, Kareem Hunt, the running back for Kansas City, lousy start, right? Fumbles his first carry. And, of course, they made a lot about in college. He had zero fumbles, and here it is. And by the end of the game, it looked like the Patriots couldn't catch up to him. Okay, Tyreek Hill, before he got hurt, another big play that he provided. He's always going to give you long-distance plays. You've got to take your shots against them. They are essentially, you know, if you put in boxing terms, they are the bully that people are afraid to take the big swing at. But I think that last night Kansas City took a lot of big swings and connected, and that was a big deal. Plus, defensively, you've got Kansas City with those great pass rushers and overall team speed that allows them to match up better with different things. You know, Eric Berry, before the Achilles injury, was matched up pretty well with Gronk and gave him a lot of trouble. You go back to the Super Bowl with Carolina and Denver, and Greg Olsen, one of the better tight ends in the league. Well, Denver was able to put Bradley Roby on him, plus a pass rush, and that shut down Olsen and made it tough for Cam. So when you've got people who can match up and erase other people, and, well, erase, that's too big of a word, who can give other people trouble, then you've got a little bit of a template. But I'm going to end it with this, though. The last time that people were coming out of the woodwork and calling for the demise of the Patriots and, you know, Brady and Belichick and maybe things have to change is when Kansas City beat them a few seasons ago. And remember, New England ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. So I think it's too early to bury them, that's for sure. But last night definitely got everyone's attention.
Yeah, no question. And yeah, we shouldn't just pick on, and we're not, what New England couldn't do in the secondary, all the big chunk plays they gave up for first downs, the long scoring plays. I thought about Alex Smith, Charles, and with Patrick Mahomes sitting on the sideline, and everybody buries Alex Smith. He can't throw deep. Yep. He always keeps it short. They're not a good comeback team. I mean, you're going to be at Soldier Field, and Mike Glennon's going to start, and you know, a couple bad possessions, and the fans will start calling for Mitch Trubisky. So they weren't at Arrowhead last night, but a good, potent start for Alex Smith is that keeps the Wolves at bay for a long chunk of this season. He's 33. They'll come for him at some point.
You are spot on. I mean, you nailed every bit of that one. Absolutely spot on. Alex needed that start. Obviously, Kansas City needed that start. But everything you articulated was absolutely perfect, because if it's the Alex Smith that played in the AFC playoffs against Pittsburgh last year, when they didn't score a touchdown, right? And remember, the thing about it was, let me rephrase that, Kansas City's defense didn't give up a touchdown, yet they lost the game because their offense didn't press it enough. Well, Alex said, forget it. For whatever reason, for all these years, people have talked about it. Last night, Alex said, forget that, and he pressed it and made some big-time throws downfield. All the stuff that you said that Alex really hasn't done much of in his career, he kicked it to the side. So he's saying, Patrick Mahomes, I know your day's coming, but not yet. Definitely not yet, and you're right. And with Glennon, it might not even take a couple of series. They might chant for Trubisky when Glennon runs on the field. I mean, it's that type of a city. Who knows?
We saw one end of how things worked out in the Super Bowl last year, and they lost last night. Yeah, you get the Bears, but you're also getting Atlanta. How they react, they've had all this time to think about the debacle of how things went down at the end of last year, and we still don't know how they're going to react coming out of the chute.
That is so true. And they can talk to us and tell us how they're going to react. But you're right. We don't know, and we're going to have to watch. We're going to have to watch it for a while and see. And the reason I say that is, you guys remember, I mean, we're not going to forget the Seattle game in New England and how it went down. And do you remember the offseason? There were numerous articles written. There were feature articles written. Didn't they all go to Hawaii? Remember the team went to Hawaii and spent 2 or 3 days together in order to talk it out and heal. You remember all of that? That was a big deal. Hey, we put this behind us. Now, that was Super Bowl was, what, two Super Bowls ago? Last season, tell me if I'm wrong now, wasn't Richard Sherman at one point during a game yelling at their offensive coordinator, Darrell Bevell, when the ball was inside the five-yard line, to run the ball, don't throw it?
That's right, yeah.
So does that give you the sign of a team that's totally healed? I don't think so, because, I mean, they bring it right back to the front. So we'll have to find out with Atlanta, but I have a strong suspicion that they will handle that better than what we've seen with Seattle's players, because I have a feeling that Dan Quinn, Pete Carroll does a fantastic job with his team. But you remember after the game and all the way through, even now, he doesn't say it was a bad play call. He said it was a bad outcome. And I think the players are kind of like, what does that mean? It didn't work. Just say it didn't work. Mm-hmm. I think Dan Quinn has probably told his team, my bad in the second half. I should have had us run the ball. Can we go forward, guys? And we'll start to find out on Sunday.
It's where you never expect that Super Bowl hangover. And we were all, last year even, Charles, we were all, well, the Panthers will get it together. It's Cam Newton.
Yeah.
It's Ron Rivera.
Kept waiting for it.
Yeah, you really were, even though they lost you lost opening night against Denver. But that's, you know, it was a Super Bowl rematch.
Denver. Super Bowl champ.
Totally, exactly. But I watched, I went back this week and watched some of, and you probably have seen it too, we got to leave the Super Bowl and watch some of Atlanta devouring Green Bay in the title game. It was 31-0 4 minutes into the second half, and we forget how...
They were devouring the Patriots.
Yes, so it could have been two of the best back-to-back games. Tell me about Steve Sarkisian. He's got a lot to prove. We know how it ended at USC. There is pressure on him taking over the OC role, isn't there? And keeping a really balanced offense between what Matt Ryan wants to do and really these two excellent running backs also. I couldn't keep Atlanta out of the playoffs, but I do think they're going to be tooth and nail with Carolina to win the division.
Yeah, I kind of like where you're going with Carolina. I sense a bounce back with the Panthers as well. If they truly adopt, I'm not going to call it a Deuce style, but make sure they use the weapons that they drafted. When Curtis Samuel gets fully healthy, and of course, Christian McCaffrey, who I have an enormous man crush on, okay? I think he's just going to be brilliant in this league. So if they utilize them and Cam allows the pressure to come off of himself some, I think they've got a much better chance of being the Carolina we saw before. But flipping it back to Atlanta, I mean, here's the thing with Sark. As a new offensive coordinator, when he took the job, he had to make sure his ego was sublimated and in a sense left behind. Because Dan Quinn told him, here's the deal. We want you to be the offense coordinator, but you're not bringing in your stuff. You're running our stuff. Now, you'll be able to put your wrinkles in and do other things, but we don't want to change terminology. We don't want to change the playbook. We want to still be the same relentless attacking team we were before. And that's cool because Sark did that at the end of his career when he flipped it over in Washington and then he went to USC. Because Sark was an old pro-style coach guy. Mm-hmm. And then he picked up the spread, hurry up, let's go, and all that. So it's not a matter of him never coaching it before. He's been there. But he had to come in and learn their stuff, not the other way around. And so he has done a fantastic job of getting organized with them, getting on page with Matt Ryan, but walking that line of not just conceding to Matt that, hey, it's your offense, you run it. Yeah, I'll learn to do your things. But I also got some other stuff here that's going to help you out as well. And by all accounts so far, those two are getting along very well. And I think that as the season goes on, you'll see more and more stuff come out. I've heard the receivers talk about new stuff that Sark has brought in for them that they like. You know, it's off-season talk. We know everyone's happy and rosy right now. But I got a good feeling about this one because Sark has been through some humbling things himself. And this is another one here to give him a chance to get back to his ultimate goal, which is kind of to get his respect back, if you really think about it.
With Fox and NFL Network analyst Charles Davis, we get ready for week one. We always look back on the draft and what's going to be. How about we look back an extra year, and now that the guys have their footing in the National Football League, it might be time to get ready for Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota to be stars in the National Football League and be in the guys that everyone's so happy they took 1 and 2.
Love it. And how many times have we seen the top two quarterbacks taken in a draft, and one goes one way and the other goes another? right? It's I think it's rare, and I don't have empirical evidence, but I think it's rare that you get two who are linked together like that, where both of them become stars. And I think in this case we're going to have that. I said it when they were drafted. I stand by it now. Winston, we saw him in Hard Knocks. This team has gotten better. If he learns not to have that bobble where he decides, I'm going to do something really crazy here, for what reason, we don't know. If he takes that out of his game, boy, oh boy, that team will follow him anywhere. And he is talented as all get out. And then Mariota just has to stay healthy. I mean, the way that they run offense in Tennessee with the heavy run, him throwing off a play action, he's getting better in the pocket, but the legs are still there for him to utilize. I think he could have a monster breakout season. I predict for him 30-plus touchdown passes if that receiving corps stays healthy throughout.
Charles Davis joining us, NFL and Fox, on with Kevin Burkhardt, Soldier Field, Falcons, Bears. Before you go, so two divisions, a lot. Everybody loves Seattle in the West. Everybody loves Green Bay in the North. Is there a team among the six that I didn't mention in those divisions? Like Elliot likes Minnesota. Forget that they were 5-0 out of the gate last year off the Bridgewater injury in Bradford. You know, if we want to call him game manager, great, but he got the wins early on, and then whether it was a house of cards or not.
There was a lot more injuries that happened to them after.
Yeah, I mean, right. I saw the excellent Nate Burleson, who's a superb analyst like yourself yesterday, say if Detroit can run the ball, they'll be dangerous. Any of those six teams that's not Green Bay or Seattle that you like in those divisions?
Well, Minnesota's an excellent one because of all of what you said. And people forget how good they are defensively. And now they actually have a guy who can run the football again in Dalvin Cook. See, he can replace the Adrian Peterson in his prime you know what I mean. And now he can be that heavy-duty ball carrier, take the pressure off of Bradford. So I like that pick of Minnesota because defensively they have an all-star in every level, line, linebacker, secondary. But the team I'm really got my eye on is Arizona because I really do believe – that this could easily be the last roundup for them. Bruce Arians, Fitzgerald, Carson Palmer. And if they get back to that ball-hawking defense that they played a couple of years ago, and they will get after you pretty well, I think that people have really kind of taken them and kicked them to the side.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
And it was just one season ago we were talking about them going to the Super Bowl. So I really think I'm going to keep a strong eye on Arizona with David Johnson doing everything in the backfield and then that defense getting healthier again and playing. But the Minnesota one I like. Detroit, I like that one, but here's my issue with them. They've been talking about running the ball for how many years and they haven't done it
yet. They don't do it, yeah.
So we'll see.
All right, we'll keep a strong eye on you, Charles Davis. Looking forward to your game, Falcons and Bears, on Sunday. Have a good one.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. And then let's mark it down. One day, let's dive into the term game manager because it's a fun one to talk about. Quarterbacks hate it, but I think that we all, and I'm talking about including myself, we all look at it wrong because a game manager, that was Peyton Manning. Tom Brady's a game manager. Drew Brees is a game manager. It really should be a good term, not a bad one.